So tonight, I would like to talk about the Sixth Sense doors. But before I start, we're starting a new habit of chanting Namo Tassa. It's an homage to the Buddha. So it's a sentence. Some of you are familiar with it, and you can chime in. It's like a phrase, and it means homage to the Buddha, perfectly enlightened one. I'll chant that 3 times to start the Dharma talk, since paying homage seems like worthwhile, because we're sitting here all because of the Buddha, because of his teachings. We can be here practicing and listening to the Dharma. So let's chant. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. So in the suttas, the Buddhist scriptures, the Buddha says at some point to the monks, the practitioners, "I will teach you the all," he says. That's a pretty significant statement, the all. And then he continues, "And what, practitioners, is the all?" He says, "The eye and forms, the ear and sounds, the nose and odors, the tongue and tastes, the body and tactile objects, the mind and mental phenomena. This is called the all. Our world, our totality of experience, the all, is the experience at the six sense doors." So that's the topic for today. And as you know, we can be aware of many different experiences in the body, like pressure, tingling, warmth, coolness, burning, throbbing, softness, hardness. And also the other senses, the hearing, tasting, seeing, smelling. And also the experiences in the mind. And all of these experiences arise at what are called the six sense doors. Six sense doors in Pali, where the Pali is the language, the oldest scriptures are written down in. It's called Salayatana, six sense doors, Salayatana. So in Buddhism, there are the 5 sensors recognized, of course, the hearing, seeing, tasting, smelling, and touching. And then the 6th sensor is the mind. And the mind includes a lot. It's all the thoughts we have, all the feelings, all the moods, emotions, but also attention, intention, perception, knowing, and mindfulness itself. And there's more, I think, but this is good for now. And so the Buddha teaches us that these 6 sense doors, all of this together, is the all. And that's interesting, like our world consisting of these experiences that we have at the 6 sense doors. Like, is there anything outside of these 6 sense doors that we experience? And there seems to be this big, complicated world out there. But all we ever know or experience in any given moment is a sensation at one of the sense doors. And when we think about this big, complicated world out there, what actually is happening is there's a thought with the contents of the big, complicated world. So every moment in itself is actually pretty simple, because there's just a knowing of what is happening at one of the sense doors. A knowing of thinking, the knowing of a mood, the knowing of a body sensation, or something we're tasting or seeing or smelling. And worthwhile to mention is that the only thing that's outside of the six sense doors, outside of the world, is Nibbana, or awakening. It's even said that Nibbana is the cessation of the six senses. But for most of us, all of our experience will be within these six sense doors. So this is nice as a theory, of course, but how do we bring this knowledge into practice? And our task in meditation, whether that's on the cushion or off the cushion, is to be aware of what arises at these six sense doors. We are training to become really familiar with all the experiences that we have. And the interesting thing is that ultimately this will lead to Nibbana, to the cessation of the six sense doors, to the awakening. So often when we start out with meditation, we pay attention to the breath. And then once we settle the mind a little bit, like we did today, then we open up to all the six senses. And all those objects, once we open up to them, are equal in a way. They're all good objects for our mindfulness. They can all be there. We don't have to pick and choose objects. We don't have to follow our preferences. We don't have to pick and choose what's pleasant, what's unpleasant. We can be aware of everything. That's the beauty of the Vipassana meditation, is that we're aware of pleasant and unpleasant. And we let mindfulness just follow wherever the attention goes. And our task is just to notice what is happening as it is happening. Whether that is something in the body or in the mind, we just notice what it is, what is most predominant in the foreground. So we don't try to make anything happen, and we don't try to push anything away. And we might be inclined, when something is pleasant, to try to grasp it, and when something is unpleasant, to try to push it away. But we try, in the Vipassana, we try to learn to be with both the pleasant and the unpleasant, the full scale of our experience, and not to attach too much to the pleasant and not to push away the unpleasant. And sometimes the tendency of the mind is to want the pleasant experiences, like a peaceful meditation, for example, or just simply being happy. But in and of itself, that's not really the goal of our meditation. It's all wonderful to be happy and peaceful and at ease, but the goal is to cultivate and grow wisdom and insight. And the side effect of insight and wisdom is happiness and peace and ease. So, indirectly, we do cultivate happiness and peace. But if we make it our goal, then it might be too much of a strain on the mind and the body. And when we are cultivating this mindfulness of whatever arises at the six sense doors, then we automatically also cultivate insight and wisdom. And cultivating insight and wisdom will begin to transform us. And the transformation will be towards more peace and ease and happiness. And sometimes it's said that a way to measure our progress on the path is to see like how how much happier am I since I started off, or how much more peace do I experience, how much more kindness is there in my heart. And Vipassana is sometimes translated as seeing things as they are. And when we observe what arises at the six sense doors, when we can be with those experiences, then we start to see things as they are. Especially when we start to be able to be present for both the pleasant and the unpleasant. I start to get insight into reality. And for this to happen, at some point we'll need to open up to all six sense doors. If we only pay attention to the breath, or only to the body, then we are actually cultivating what's called concentration meditation, which is great because it is a really good support for insight practice, for Vipassana practice. But the concentration itself will not spark insight out of itself. So to cultivate the insight, and together also the wisdom, at some point we'll need to open up to all six sense doors. And when we are meditating, we don't have to worry about what sense door is coming up. We don't have to exactly know, oh, this is this or this is that. Just a simple awareness of what is happening is enough. We don't have to like think about it or analyze it, because the mind has this knowing quality and it already knows what is happening, so we don't have to do our best to know what is happening, because that is part of the mind's job, to know what is happening. But the mind knows that an itch is happening, or that boredom is happening, or that the breath is happening, whatever it is. And that ties into that we don't need that much effort in meditation, like I was speaking about the other weeks, a couple weeks ago, a few weeks ago. And sometimes it can be beneficial to put in a little bit of effort into your meditation. And I talked about this also in the meditation, which is to give experience a label. And labeling is a technique that Mahasi Sayadaw taught back in the last century, in the 20th century. He was a meditation master who lived then, and it's an influence on the Vipassana scene. And it works like this: an experience comes up, let's say a sound, and then we give it a mental note, like a hearing, or hearing is happening. So we don't like go into like, oh, it's a bird singing, or it's a cricket, or no, we don't go there. We just label the hearing part. And this noting, this labeling, should not be more than like 10 or 20% of our attention. The rest should just be the direct experience of what is happening. And a few more examples is when you're thinking and you become aware of it, and label it thinking or thoughts, thinking is happening. Or when you feel cold, coolness is happening. Cold is happening. Or when you feel pain, maybe feel a burning sensation. Oh, burning is happening, or throbbing is happening. Or however the pain expresses itself. When you feel an emotion, you can label it sadness or joy or tranquility. And you might notice here that in these labels, it's not like I am joyful or I am thinking. And by taking the I out of the label, we stop reinforcing the identification that we often have with our experience. I am sad. If we change that to sadness is happening, that's different. A little bit of distance from it. And the goal of putting in this little bit of effort, this little bit of labeling, is to help stay present with the continuing experiences that are happening. Experience after experience after experience. Because the mind just gets lost in thoughts often. That's completely natural and normal. And the labeling can help us to stay a little bit better with our experience. So it's something you can experiment with in your meditation. It's something, it's just a tool, like I said, in the meditation. You can see if it's helpful or not. And if not, you can let it go. It's not a must to use it. And all of these teachings that I've been talking about so far, we can also use those in our daily life next to our formal practice. And because in every moment of our lives, we can be mindful of what is happening. These six sense doors just keep on going wherever we are, whatever situation we are in, whether we're sitting in meditation or whether we're making breakfast or driving our car, taking a walk, talking to people, sending an email, whatever it is, these six sense doors keep on going. So in every moment we can be mindful. And so incorporating mindfulness of all these moments in our lives is a huge opportunity. And maybe in the future I'll give a talk about daily life practice a little bit more in depth, since it can be such a huge support on our path. I'd like to end with a quote by one of my teachers, Sayadaw Utejani, a Burmese monk. He says, "Insight meditation is a general purpose practice. We can take it anywhere, and it can be practiced in all conditions. We can use it while living life. It is so simple that it can be summed up in a few words. Just observe and let it be."